Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Appreciate that song service and appreciate that special. And that ought to be the cry of our hearts for Emmanuel to come. We understand he did come, but we want him to be in our hearts and in our lives. And he is everything to us. This morning, we're going to finish up our series of messages, Emmanuel, God with us, and I'd like to speak to you about the joy of Christmas, the joy of having God with us. There is no real joy outside of Jesus Christ. Now, we can have moments of happiness. We can have fleeting moments of physical enjoyment and all kinds of things like that, but that's not joy. That's something different. Joy is something that is much deeper than a physical happiness. Joy is something much deeper than just an emotional response to something you like. Joy is something that is there and it is always there no matter what your circumstances are. Joy is something that God puts in your heart and it lasts for all eternity. And that joy only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 2. We're going to study verses 8 through 20, but I'd like to read verses 8 through 14 to begin this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, the word of God says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you'd help me to preach it exactly as you'd have me to today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that was able to come today, and I pray that you would bless our time together in your word now. I pray you've been glorified in the songs that have been sung and that you've heard the prayers that have been spoken and that have been in our hearts and minds today. Lord, I pray now that you would bless your word, that it would convict our hearts, that it would change us, Lord, and that we would just answer the challenge of your word today to be obedient to the things you'd have us to. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's reached that age of accountability and they know they need to be saved, I pray today that this would be the day that they would repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and call on you and receive the gift of everlasting life. Lord, for all of us who are saved, that we would just be overwhelmed with the joy that comes through knowing Christ, that God is with us each and every day. And Lord, that we would take that joy and it would drive us in our lives to live for you, to share the gospel with others, Lord, to live in a way that would bring you honor and glory. Please bless and help now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to talk to you a little bit about joy today, and joy is something that seems to escape a lot of people. You know, some people just aren't very happy. And the crazy thing about it is some of us aren't very happy. You know, Zig Ziglar used to say that somebody looks so sad, they look like somebody done licked all the red off their lollipop. And when it was really, really bad, he'd say they were going around looking like the picture on their driver's license. That's when it's real bad. But a lot of people don't have joy in their lives. And listen, like I mentioned a moment ago, this thing of joy, it's not dependent on our circumstances. Joy is much deeper than that. Joy is, it doesn't matter if it rained buckets last night. You still love God and you want to be in his house to praise him. It doesn't matter if it's storming. It doesn't matter if the storms are real or if they're spiritual or if they're emotional or whatever. When the storms of life come, you just have joy in your heart because God is in your life. God is with us. And the night that Jesus was born, The messenger of God came, the angel of the Lord came, and he didn't go to a king, he didn't go to a head of state, he didn't go to the media outlets, he didn't put it on Facebook. He found some shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. Lowly shepherds. And I love the fact that the gospel message, the first time it was shared by God on the day that Jesus was born, was to shepherds. Those faithful men. And I want you to kind of get it in your mind's eye, that rock-strewn field outside of Bethlehem and just the rolling hillside, and they're keeping watch over their flock. And you can argue about what time of year it was if you want to. I'll just stay out of that argument. I'm one of those kind of people, when I read the arguments for both sides of something, I get convinced both ways. He might have been born three different times. I don't know. you read those things and they want to argue about when it was and all that. I don't know that it really matters. I got an idea that if it really mattered exactly the day he was born, he'd have put it in his word. Amen. And there wouldn't be any debating about it. But he was born. And the angels were there in the field, and they were faithfully out there watching over, keeping watch for the predators that might come. And then they got the surprise of their lives because the angels suddenly appeared to them. Now, you might have it in your mind, if you'd have been them, you'd have been cool with it. You'd have been like, oh, this is awesome, a vision from God. But I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'd have been scared to death. And they were too. And the angel's message, like the angel of God's message is always, he first has to say, don't be afraid. Fear not. I'm not here to kill you. I've got good news for you today. And we're going to learn about that a little bit this morning. First of all, if you're taking notes, you can write down the first thing we need to do to experience the joy of having God with us is we need to receive the message. We need to receive the message. The message came. In verse 9, we read, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Notice the message was wrapped in the glory of God. And we study our Bible about the glory of God. It's an awesome thing. When you see the glory of the Lord, you see it a lot in the life of Moses. Moses was exposed to the glory of God like nobody else in history. He got to communicate with God face to face in a way that nobody else did. And when you study about the life of Moses over and over and over, you see the glory of the glory of the Lord appearing to Moses, appearing in the mountain and appearing in the tabernacle, because God was close to Moses and his glory shone in his life. You remember when he got the commandments from God, his face shone with the glory of God. He'd been so close to God, his face was glowing when he came down out of the mountain. The glory of God. But it's interesting, when you study your Bible about the glory of the Lord, you see it a lot in the life of Moses, and then you don't see it so much anymore for a long time. As a matter of fact, the next time we see a major appearance of the glory of the Lord is when Solomon dedicated the temple. When they built the temple and they had the dedication of the temple, and tens of thousands of animals were sacrificed to the glory of God. Hundreds of people were gathered together to play music and to sing praises to God. It was a celebration of God unlike the world had ever seen before by men. And they gathered all the people and made all the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the temple, so much so the Shekinah glory cloud of God filled up the house so that the priests couldn't even stand up to do the work of the ministry. God's glory appeared in a great way. But then we really don't see his glory showing anymore. Isaiah prophesies about his glory, and Ezekiel tells about the day when his glory will come, even Habakkuk. But you don't see anybody experiencing the glory of the Lord in that way until this day. When Jesus is born, the glory of the Lord shone on those shepherds in the field. Hey, where the glory of the Lord is, there's reason to rejoice. Amen. His glory shined down on that shepherd's field. the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. And I believe God promised this would come many, many times over. But in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." And listen, friend, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and his glory shone down on those shepherds to let them know that God was with them that day. And guess what? He's with us today. Hey, listen, we're in a world that's full of darkness. And we live in America. America was founded on the principles of the Word of God. We've had a gospel light in this world since our founding, and yet we have seen that light dim over the ages. Over the years, we've seen the light of the gospel dim in America. We've seen the darkness creep in, and it's getting worse and worse all the time. But I just want to remind you that the darker the night, the brighter the light. And the message of God still shines as brightly today as it ever has. I can't really comprehend people. We go out and knock on doors and try to share the gospel with them, and they have no idea what the gospel is, and you go through the gospel with them, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, I've done that." Like it's no big deal. Can I just remind you, it's a big deal that Jesus came. It's the biggest deal. It's the greatest thing the world will ever know. But his glory came. The message was wrapped in the glory of God, but then the message was the gospel of God. In verse 10, he said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And I love it, that phrase, "I bring you good tidings," that's the gospel. I'm bringing you the good news. And we see this phrase over and over in Romans 1:15. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that phrase, "to preach the gospel to you," is the same phrase that the angel used when he said, "I bring you good tidings." It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that they brought. I'm here to tell you that Christ is born and the Savior has come. It's good news, friends. 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And if you understand this, you understand the preaching of the gospel, you understand the preaching of the cross. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about the necessity of faith in a moment, but I just got to say, I was trying to witness to a guy one time, and I went through the gospel with him several times, and he said to me, he said, "What would you say if I told you I did that and it didn't work? What would you say if I told you I prayed and asked God to forgive me and I believed and it didn't work? I didn't get saved." And my answer to him was this, because there's two things that are required, I believe, for salvation. It's repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, "Well, I'd say either your repentance is messed up or your faith is messed up. Either you didn't really repent and turn from your sin, turn to Christ alone, or you don't really believe that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. Either you didn't repent or you don't really believe." And he looked at me, and it took him about a second to go, "You know, I think you're right. I don't really believe." Guess what? It's no value to you if you don't believe. That's why we talk to these people, "Oh yeah, I've done that." Well, no, you haven't done that. If it hasn't changed your life, if you don't have assurance of salvation, if you don't know 100% for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, you don't have it. You didn't get it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've got to believe it. They came with the gospel. They came in glory, and they came to tell them of the greatness of Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he said, "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus was promised to be the Savior of the world. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And who are his people? All who believe in his name are his people, and they are saved. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was his purpose in coming was to save us. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I know that the people in the world today want to tell us you can believe whatever you want to as long as you believe, as long as you have faith. And they can say all that they want to, that all religions lead to heaven. And it's just whatever you want to believe and whatever you want to call it. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life. He is the only Savior of the world. He is the only God. He's the only God who became a man. He's the only God who died for man, and he's the only God who conquered death and hell and the grave. And that's it, friends. Amen. He's the only one who died and rose again. He is the Savior of the world, and there is none other. He's the Savior. He's Christ. A Savior, which is Christ. Listen, Christ isn't part of the name of Jesus. It's not. Sometimes, you know, growing up, I guess I probably thought it was like his last name, Jesus Christ. My name is Isaac Slape. His name is Jesus Christ. But that's not the way it is. Christ is not his name. It's his designation. It's his title. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is the chosen one of God, the anointed one of God. In John 1:41-42, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. We found Messiah. We found the chosen. We found the anointed one. We found the one that God has been promising throughout the ages. We found the one that the prophets foretold. We found the one that we've been waiting for. And he's here, and his name is Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's Messiah. John 4:25-26, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Listen, the angels declared he was Christ. Andrew declared that he was Christ. And Jesus himself declared that he was Christ. He is the chosen one of God. They came in his glory. They came with his gospel, but they came to tell of his greatness. Not only is he Savior Christ, but he is Lord. He's not just Messiah, he's Master. In Philippians 2:9-11, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And listen, there's going to come a day when every knee on the planet, every soul that has ever lived will bow the knee before Jesus, and every tongue that has ever lived will declare Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm talking about the ones who mock him today. They'll say Jesus is Lord. Every tongue, every knee. Can I just encourage you today? Don't wait. Don't wait until you are overwhelmed by his glory and his presence where you can do nothing but bow. But today, make a choice, because of his great love for us, to bow the knee and to confess with the tongue that Jesus is Lord. He's not just Lord over all. He's Lord over me. And it's important we get that. It's kind of like the thing where we say, well, everybody sinned. And somehow when we say that, I think we miss it a little bit, because it's different to say, well, you know, everybody's told a lie. But when I look at you and I say, have you ever told a lie? I mean, when you're singled out, it changes things, doesn't it? Because then it's not just everybody's sin, but then it's all of a sudden, I'm a liar. And I don't know about you, I don't like liars. It doesn't bother me so bad when I lie to somebody, but when they lie to me, man, it gets under my skin. It's kind of that same concept that we Jesus is Lord, and we're okay with that. And we know he reigns over everything, but listen, friend, he reigns over you. Amen. and he reigns over me. It's not just that he's the master of the universe. No, he's the master of my life. Amen. He's the master of my mind and my emotions and my spirit and my body, and everything is under his control. I used to say when I was, I got saved when I was 14, but I wasn't scripturally baptized until I was 17 years old, and it wasn't long after that till I surrendered to the ministry, the way we say it, I surrendered to the ministry. I'm not even sure exactly what that means. All I know is God was dealing with my heart, and I knew he wanted me to do something, and I couldn't take it, and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I don't know what you want me to do. I'll do whatever it is, though. And we call that surrendering to the ministry. I didn't have any idea the Lord wanted me to be a pastor at that time. I just knew I wanted to do what God wants me to do. And I used to say, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And you know, the more I've thought about that, that's just, I understand that, and I understand if you've said that or thought that, but listen, he's always been Lord of my life. I just realized it one day. If you've never come to the realization that he's not just your Savior, he's the Lord and Master of your life, you need to get there. It's not just preachers and pastors and missionaries that need to surrender their life to God. Every believer needs to surrender their life to God. God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'll do it, whatever it is. I'm going to be the husband or wife or the mom or the dad or the grandpa or grandma. I'm going to be the son or the daughter. I'm going to be the whatever it is. I'm going to be what you want me to be, God. Whatever it is. He is Lord. 1 Timothy 6:14 through 16 says, thou that keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And Jesus Christ is the only King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Lord of our life. And yet Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jesus is Lord. When I was a young man and my dad told me to do something, it was great for me to say, yes, sir. My mom told me to do something, yes, ma'am. But you know, to say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, and then not do it really didn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, I think it made it worse. Son, take out the trash while I'm gone. Yes, sir. It'd be better if you didn't say yes, sir, if you're not going to do it. It's insult to injury. Listen, we need to be careful. And I know we sin. I know we fail. I know we fall. But it not be the defining characteristic of our life that we come in here and declare that Jesus is Lord and go out there and we disobey him every day. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We don't want to just give him lip service. We want to give him life service. We need to receive the message. We need to respond with faith. Look at verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And so we see they responded with faith. Now, listen, if the angels appear and the glory of the Lord shines around and you hear and see a multitude of angels around you singing, I guess it would be easy to believe. You would think. Except I would think that I had lost my mind. It's a good thing there were shepherds, plural, because if it was just one fellow out there and he saw that, I guarantee you he'd be like, man, I don't know what's in the water out here, but this is crazy. But I guarantee you that they, when all of it went away and they stood there in awe, that they looked at each other to see, did you see what I saw? You don't think so? I'm telling you. A couple of years ago, Melissa and I went on a rare date. We probably went to Walmart. But we left the kids at my mom's in Bragg's. And I don't know if you've ever been over that way, but we went from Bragg's down to Muskogee. I think we went up to Tulsa. When we came home that night, driving up Bragg's Mountain, it's curvy, and going up the hill there, as we were going up the hill, something walked across the road. This something looked an awful lot like Bigfoot. Now, I was pretty sure that, you know, it's dark, and just in the headlights, it comes across the road, goes off the road, and I was pretty sure it was a guy in a gorilla suit, but at the same time, I thought, did I really even see that? And so I looked at Melissa just to see and asked her. And she was looking at me the same way going, did you just see that too? Because I'm telling you, when you see something crazy like that, you're going, hold on just a second. Maybe you need to drive. Now, I know that when those angels disappeared and those guys were standing there in awe, they were looking at each other going, did you just see what I just saw? Did you hear what I just heard? And they all confirmed together, man, this is incredible. We've got to go see this. We've got to go. But they responded with faith. I want to tell you something, too. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever felt like this. I do a lot of times. I'm thinking, God, if you could just, you know, put a billboard on the interstate, or if you could just call me, send me a text. You know, if I could just hear what you want me to do in this situation, Lord, if you could just tell me, plain as day, man, that would be, I would really appreciate that. You know, God doesn't deal with us today like he dealt with people then. But you know what the Bible says about this book? Peter got to see Jesus transfigured before his eyes. He got to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was clothed in his glory. He got to see the glory of the Lord. He got to see that, got to see the Lord there, and he was in awe of that. And when he wrote about it later, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What's he talking about? He's talking about this book. He's saying that this book that most of you got laying in your lap or on the pew beside you right now, that this is better than if you got to be an eyewitness of the glory of Jesus. This is better. Isn't that incredible? Listen, those experiences that we have, those things that we see and we hear, we don't always get it right. That's why when there's a car accident and the police officers interview everybody that sees it, he gets five different stories. We see and hear things. We don't always get it right. But this gets it right every time. And it doesn't change. It's always the same. You say, man, if I could see the angels and stuff, I'd believe. No, you have the Word of God. You got the law and the prophets and the gospels and the epistles. You've got it. And if you won't believe this, then you're not going to believe. Amen. If you can't believe the Word, then you can't believe. We need to respond with faith. Respond with faith. You know, joy comes to those who believe. We're talking about having joy. You can't have joy outside of faith. Joy comes to those who believe in Luke 2, verses 29 to 32. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, God gave a promise to a few people they'd get to see Jesus when he came. And when they saw him, they rejoiced. Because they believed, they had joy. What about the wise men when they came? Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. When we believe, we can have joy. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being